Welcome to the Dr. Nurse Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Sandra Pagenta. I'm a doctorally prepared nurse practitioner, and I am so glad you decided to join me today. The Dr. Nurse Podcast is a podcast for nurses and nurse practitioners that are wanting to understand what exactly their degrees can do for them. After the birth of my son, I had this aching desire to have more flexibility in my career choices, despite feeling like all the alphabet soup after my name didn't really afford me very many options. I launched the podcast to find the answers that I so desperately needed. I also knew I couldn't be the only nurse who felt this way. Does this sound like you? If so, come and hang out with me as I figure out what our nursing degrees can give us access to as far as career flexibility, control over our schedules, and entrepreneurship by talking with NPs and RNs who are doing exactly that. Sit back and enjoy the conversation. Hi, Dr. Nurse Podcast Nation. Welcome to another episode. Today we have on Melanie, and she is a graduate of the University of Wisconsin in 2018 with her bachelor's in nursing. Interesting little side note for her career. She actually did not pass her NCLEX on the first time. But she still became a nurse. She's still fabulous. She's doing her own thing. She's here to tell you about her journey today and the fact that you've got to prioritize the things that make you feel alive in your career in order to be a good nurse. So I am so excited to have you on today. I've introduced you prior to the podcast and given them all your little factoids about your degrees and everything else like that. But I'm so happy to have you on today, Melanie.
I am so excited to be here, Sandra. This is just so exciting. I'm loving everything you're doing, and I feel so honored to be a guest on your podcast today.
Oh my gosh. I was so happy to hear that you've listened to the podcast, that you're a fan of the podcast.
Big fan.
That you're all about like creating multiple streams of income and stepping away from the bedside if it's not meeting your needs anymore. So
that's, you know what? You got to do what's best for you, whatever that looks like.
Yeah.
For me, it looked a certain way and it look differently at a different point in my time. And it's okay if plans change and things happen in your life and circumstances arises that are maybe out of your control. But I found that it's what you do with what you have in front of you. That's what's most important. And it's finding the ways to create your own joy. And for me, it's finding ways to spread my sunshine because I have a lot of love to give. And this world is pretty dark. And nursing has gotten pretty rough over the past couple of years. And I really just wanted to create a safe space and a community for my friends, is what I like to call them, to feel appreciated, feel heard, feel loved, feel everything that they may not be feeling from their jobs or from their life or their careers or what have you. It's just been such a fun journey so far. And I'm so happy to be here talking to you about it.
I love it. And I cannot wait to hear all of what you've been doing with your career. So take me through kind of how you see yourself right now. What's your current role?
Well, it's funny you always say that about being a crafter, because I kind of started out saying that I was a peds nurse by day and a crafter by night, because that's, or no, it was the other day. It was the other way around, because I was working nights as a peds nurse. And then I would, whenever I would get canceled is when I would find myself crafting, because I was getting really bored just sitting on the couch. And yeah, I needed a creative outlet. So I kind of don't know where to start. It all kind of started as a hobby and turned into this happy accident, is kind of what I like to call it.
So tell me, when did you leave the bedside? Tell me, when did you leave
The bedside. Okay. That's a great place to start. I left the bedside in September. So 6 months ago.
Okay.
Not long ago. I was a nurse for almost.
Go ahead.
Yeah, almost exactly 4 years.
Prior to that, go ahead.
Yep, prior to that, I was a nurse for almost 4 years. And it wasn't a CNA job, but it was basically a glorified sitter prior to me being a nurse when I was still in nursing school. It was kind of my foot in the door to get into the facility that I wanted to work at. And I learned a lot, and it really helped kind of solidify my want to be a pediatric nurse. And it helped because I was afloat. So I was able to go to all the different units and see the different specialties and really kind of have the luxury of being able to kind of pick my poison a little bit when I was going to apply and when I passed my NCLEX after taking it the second time.
Yeah. I love stories like that where people like Because people probably look at you and think like, oh, Mel has it all together. And then you share this like really vulnerable story about how, you know, you struggled to pass the NCLEX and then yeah. you did. And one, it makes you love your degree or makes you love your certification a little bit more because you really yeah. have to fight for it. But then mm-hmm. also it shows like how you overcame something that was really challenging and then set yeah. yourself up for all these other great things in your career. So you worked as a peds nurse for 4 years. And then again, found yourself crafting on the on your off time. And one of the mm-hmm. things that I find when I talk to people is they are looking for, they love working bedside. They chose being a nurse because they like helping people. But yes. then they find that they're getting burned out. So tell me a little bit about, and I know you were kind of sharing with me like working during COVID and all these different things that I think were probably, I don't know, you tell me, but were they leading to this crescendo of like, I don't know how much longer I can do this. This is wearing me out. Like, what was it yeah. for you that made you kind of start to want to shift?
Right. Well, it was kind of a multitude of different things. It kind of started with COVID. COVID kind of affected the pediatric population a lot differently than it did the adult world. Mm-hmm. You know, our schools were closed, surgeries were canceled, both of which make up a wild, highly percent of our patient population that I saw in the acute care side of the bedside. And I was working as a PRN. I was not a full-time. I was hired on as a PRN nurse, which is as needed. So I was working. Wow. Yeah. It was kind of what was best for me at the time. I was able to still be on my parents' insurance because I was young enough. And then when I was able to get married, my husband had better insurance than what the facility was offering. So it all kind of nice. Made sense to me at the time. But then when COVID hit, PRNs got canceled first. And very often. And my unit was actually closed for about 18 weeks. So we were combined with two other floors. So you have 2 to 3 units of nurses fighting for 24 beds.
Oh my goodness.
Full half the time. So there was 2 months straight where I was scheduled to work 18 to 07. And I got canceled every single time for 2 months
wow.
straight.
Wow. Wow.
And yeah.
That's scary. Like if you were depending on that income, I mean, and again, you're working PRN, but still, I mean, what if you needed that little income to make a little bit, you know, whatever. Now that's
I have loans. I have bills, yeah. you know, just like everyone
else.
Can you
pay my bills? Can you pay my telephone bill? Can you pay my auto
know,
bill?
And it's, I don't have mommy and daddy that just pay for everything. Yes. So I needed something. I was, you know, kind of, I was begging my management for hours. I was like, where I could go. I was standing at the front entrance, scanning and screening all the nurses and healthcare workers coming in. I was checking their temperature, asking them their screening questions. I did that a couple of times overnight. I did the COVID vaccine clinic where once they started rolling out the vaccines and they needed to administer the staff, I was doing that. And then once they started rolling out the children's vaccines, I was out there doing that, doing the flu clinics. We even had a COVID hotline where employees would call if they were sick or they were exposed and they needed the proper what to do now. You know, I was kind of just grasping for straws at anything I could do to just get hours. And they were helpful to me in giving me what they could, but they also had to share the love because there were other PRNs and other nurses that were trying to get hours and that were canceled. And if you were PRN and you didn't work, you don't get paid. We didn't have PTO or PPL or any, you know, pockets of hours that could help yeah. subsequent those, that time lost.
Yeah.
And there was even programs in the beginning at the facility that if you were full-time and you did get canceled, there was like funds that would pay you because it was like not your fault that you got canceled. But I didn't get all of those benefits as well being PRN. So there was a lot that I was kind of just trying to find my purpose of I couldn't do a job that I loved, that I felt like I always said I was born for the bedside. I was very thankful that I had about 6 months, 6 to 8 months, less than a year of experience at the bedside before COVID hit, mm-hmm. which I am looking back very thankful because I helped precept a couple nurses and just seeing what these new nurses are having to go through right off the bat, it is scary.
Yeah.
Scary sometimes.
Yeah. One of the things I think is so interesting about what you're talking about is that through this, and again, this is something that I always find in all these journeys, it's so strange. Mm-hmm. It's this little morsel of difficulty, strain,
disappointment, something with their nursing career that's just not going right, that leads them to spend a little more time in silence, a little more time with themselves, that then sparks the ingenuity of building something for themselves. So here you are sitting on the couch, canceled week after week after week. And instead of watching just hours of Netflix and chilling, you're just like,
and I did that anymore. I did that, but I was getting, I was losing my mind because nurses were busybodies. Like, I need to do something. And I slept all day thinking I was going into work because God forbid I didn't do that. And then they actually do need me to come in. Because that happened one time. Cause I was like, oh, I'm not going to go in. I'm going to get canceled. Nope. They had a lot of call-ins that day.
Works like that.
So, yeah, it just was a point where it's like, okay, I had my Cricut. I bought a Cricut for my wedding that I got married in September of 2020. I was a COVID bride. And after that was kind of all said and done, I still just needed an outlet because thankfully I had that creative outlet with my wedding. I DIY'd all of my wedding signs to save cost and did my invitations and just kind of played with it that way. And I needed something else once that was done and I wasn't getting, you know, my purpose from going to work or going to do the job that I maybe signed up for. And it honestly started with me making like glitter ornament recipes and just trying out like different stupid stuff on TikTok. Yeah. And I would video record myself, and still to this day, my highest viewed video on my TikTok account is me testing out a glitter ornament recipe.
Oh my goodness. So you started,
and then it
just
all kind of started. It was just with Cricuting. And then once I started going back to work a little bit more, I kind of just wanted something for myself because I had the motion. I was like, okay, if you look good, you feel good. You're going to have a good shift. It's going to be good. If I have a bright rainbow on my shirt, nothing bad can happen today. Right. So that was my mentality. So that's what I did. I put a rainbow on my t-shirt and I put Peds Nurse under it. And I walked around my unit and got a couple of girls. And we're like, oh my gosh, that's so cute. Could you make me one? Made a couple for the girls in my unit and some of the floaters that were traveling all the different units. And that's honestly like how it all kind of snowballed. It was getting too overwhelming, keeping track of everything in my Instagram DMs and doing like a Google sheet and Venmo. I was like, you know what? I should just build a website, right? Like, should I do this? Yeah. It was a big internal. I was like, I went to nursing school. I did not go to business school. I do not know the first thing about running a business. Crafting could tell you all about. I could tell you how to make this, this, and that. I could do it for you. Whip it up really fast. Taxes, game over.
LLC, what?
Yeah. Right. Sales tax? No. Yeah. All of the above. Thankfully, my husband, he is in marketing. He has a business degree. So he has been able to help a lot with, you know, help kind of build some things up. And I use Shopify and they made it so incredibly easy. I built my own website. Still to this day, that's what you see is I built it myself. So it's made it really easy and straightforward. And it's all been a great learning opportunity. And I'm still learning. I learn something new every day. I'm kind of making it up as I go along.
Yeah. No,
but I'm just having so much fun with my little.
And do you miss the bedside? Corner. Yeah. Do you Absolutely. Miss the bedside?
Yeah. Absolutely. And if we're talking about other like disappointments, because that's kind of another reason why, you know, I ultimately like took the step back, is I had a back injury at the beginning of January last year.
No.
I herniated
on the floor. Two
of my discs.
From pulling a patient or what did you caught a patient?
I did that. Two weeks prior to the straw on the camel's back that put me in the emergency room, I had a patient that came in at 3 o'clock in the morning. He was a total care patient and he did not have a turning system underneath or a transfer system to transfer him from the gurney to the bed when he came up from admission. And, you know, me being resourceful and parents, it's late. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. I just want to get my questions done so I can let you guys try to get some sleep because you've been in the ER all day.
Yeah.
So me and a couple dudes got resourceful and we took the corners of the fitted sheet on the gurney and we transferred him and I felt something. I felt a strain. And for 2 weeks, I worked Christmas Eve. I worked New Year's Eve. And then I straw on the camel's back. I put a pizza in the oven and herniated two of my discs on January 7th.
Oh my goodness. And this original injury, like you kind of messed it up at work. And this is the other thing too. When I did this,
and I didn't file
they
my
told
reports
me,
either.
I was just about to say, they told me I was young and that I should be fine. And I didn't file a report. And I still have back problems to this day from a very similar situation. And so here we are, 30s, 20s, 30s, and we are hurt on the job.
Yes.
And we'll carry this until the day
forever.
We die.
Forever.
Yeah.
And
so what did you do for your back? Did you end up having to get like, you know, they just did like rest or they did an MRI? What'd they
thankfully
do?
It wasn't bad enough where I needed surgery. They said I was really lucky where it wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
Could I have gotten surgery? Yes. Would that have maybe sped up my recovery? Yes. But it's back surgery. My dad has had two spinal fusions in his life. And the first one, he was 46. I just turned 28. And I don't have kids yet, but I do want a family and I do want to live my longest, healthiest life. I want to travel. I want to do all these things. And I can't do that with the bad back. And I'll tell you, Sandra, I didn't work for 5 months.
Sorry.
It was, and I'm going to try to like not cry, but it was like the hardest experience that I've ever gone through in my entire life, physically, mentally, emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
It was trauma. It was traumatic. The whole thing, from the actual injury itself to all the time that it took. All I could really do was physical therapy and medication and chiropractic adjustments. And those only went so far. PT destroyed me. It sucked. It made things like even like worse. I wasn't progressing at all. My insurance wouldn't cover steroids, which is ultimately what my doctor thought that I needed. And I tried like dry needling, which is basically a elevated version of acupuncture. The needle's like this long versus this long. And they go in and they like, tap your bone to create a micro injury and send signals to your brain to try it all.
Science. Oh my goodness.
I had weight restrictions and was trying to work with my management team on trying to get me back to work and also getting me back to work with a realistic weight restriction for what we were doing at the bedside.
Yeah.
And there was a couple of times where I brought up my restrictions and they're like, I'm sorry, we can't accommodate this. It'd just be too much. Yep. It would be too like.
Yep. You're too much of a burden on the unit because you're not pulling your weight. Right?
Literally.
You're not pulling somebody else's weight is really what it is. I'm pulling my weight, but now you're asking me to pull somebody else's physical weight. And yet, no, I've been there, girl. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Bingo.
It's awful.
So ultimately I did go back. I went back in May from January and I went back with a weight restriction and even like an hour restriction. Like I couldn't work 12-hour shifts. Thankfully, being PRN, I had the luxury of scheduling myself in the holes and pockets. So I was able to kind of break my shifts up, which I needed to do because even with the weight restriction, you're running around like a chicken with your head cut off. You have less resources. There were days where I was in charge and I had a full assignment. I had three patients of myself in charge from 15 to 23 with a weight restriction and a bad back.
Yeah. Yeah. At every step, you're having pain. Every time you bend over to get a urinal from the supply room, everything is dependent on your back, especially in nursing. You've got sciatic running down your leg. You're in constant pain. I know exactly what you're talking about. I've had it happen to me. And more nurses don't talk about it. And, I'm so sorry. I know exactly what you dealt with. Dang, girl. And you know what? We just keep working. Nurses just keep doing it. And you're so tired. And then again, you feel like this burden on your unit. And yet here I am charging, taking a team, and I'm hurt. I'm playing hurt. And nobody acknowledges that we're playing hurt. You're getting the same pay for playing hurt that you get whenever you're, girl, I already know exactly where you are. And so I think it is, again, incumbent upon nurses to talk about this stuff so that hospital systems can start to go like, oh, wait a minute. What are we doing to people here? These poor nurses pour themselves out. Literally, I caught a guy who had a brain surgery. He, you know, I was working neurosurge. So they're all operated on. Everybody is cuckoo. Everyone's either cuckoo or fallen over because they're neurosurgery. And so this guy was both. He was cuckoo and fallen over. And so I looked at him. I was like, don't move. Stay right there. I got to go do something. So I went to go grab something, straddle both worlds. And homeboy was like, see you later. And he just goes to fall. So your natural reaction is to catch him. And I'm like, oh my God, my back. And then you go to try to get help. You try to get support. And they're like, yeah, we don't, we need you in there, like in the trenches working. And you're like, I can't carry. So eventually you just end up going, so it's either me or you. I have to pick myself, because if not.
That's exactly what it came down to. It was, some incidents came to light and I finally had to just ask myself, is it worth it? And because it was obvious to me at the time that there were definitely people that did have my back and did support me, but there was a lot of people that didn't. And working a job that's already impossible and not having some of the support that you need, it's like, how do I want to say this?
My dad said,
you literally and figuratively need to have your back. And when I wasn't feeling that, I needed to ask myself if it was worth it, the cost that I was, you know, bringing up to the table physically, mentally, yeah. Emotionally.
I have two things to say. First off, what price would you put on a bad back? That's pretty much priceless. I'm not going to like, I have a really high price for how much my back is worth. So there's not enough money.
I wouldn't wish it on anybody, my worst enemy.
It's every move, right? Every time you reach or touch or mend, it's everything, right? So that's everything. The first thing. The second thing my dad said that I thought was critical as I was going through things as a nurse, a lot of tough stuff. The field of nursing, there is too much room for errors for people to not have your back. So if you don't have, and my dad said that to me, and I didn't quite understand it because I was really young when I was going through all this stuff, 22, 23, but it's such a great line. And my dad's so smart and he's
a very smart man.
Very smart man. And he said that to me. He said, Sandra, this career, there are too many areas where you are vulnerable already.
Yes. Yes.
That if people don't have your back to cover you, to go like, oh, this nurse left this out. Or, oh my goodness, her pump is beeping. Or, oh my,
let me go. Or she needs help transferring a patient. Or
she needs help transferring a patient or whatever. If people don't have your literal back and your figurative back, then that job, you can't do it anymore. It's not safe. And so when he told me that, I realized I needed to leave the floor I was on because I was like, oh, he's right. I am so much more vulnerable. Not only am I physically vulnerable, but now my in-work dynamics have made me vulnerable as well because people don't think I'm pulling my weight. People think that I'm constantly asking like, hey, can you help me in here? Because I can't lift. And they're like, oh, man, I've got like my stuff and now I got to do your stuff. Like there's such a dynamic that if you don't have
and
that
you don't
want
to be the burden to that. You don't want to be the cause of annoyance. That's the last thing I want to do. But I'm not here to annoy you. I'm here to try to do my job to the best of my abilities, just like you are. And I can't do my job if there aren't certain things set in place for all of us to be successful, not only me. But I got to the point, and like we were saying about safety, not only my safety was at risk at times, but it was starting to get to my patient's safety. And that's what I'm not okay with. And that's where I had to draw the line because I stayed a lot longer than I should have. Looking back, knowing what I know now, I should have listened to my gut and not my heart. Because in my heart, I was, you know, trying to be the team player that I thought they wanted. And I just wanted, you know, everyone else was all going through everything and what they went through when I was at home, my leave, and what they had to endure when they were working in COVID and I was pushed to the COVID vaccine clinic. It just wasn't conducive for anybody. And I tried. I really did. I worked with my management. I tried to go in with a positive attitude and spread my sunshine where I could. And it wasn't working anymore.
Mel, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Because you were PRN, do you think that you were treated differently? Yeah.
1,000%. Any PRN that worked on my floor will tell you the exact same story.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're PR and now your back is hurt. So now you're worth even less. Is that kind of how you
felt? There were times when
I
went in for a bonus shift because they were just sending out calls all the time. Like, please come and help us. We're so short staffed. Because there was a time where when we were so low in census, a bunch of nurses quit because they needed to provide for their families, especially the PRN nurses. They're like, I can't just not work. So a lot of them left the facility and either went into different lines of nursing or different, you know, places. But I was in a position where I like could, you know, play it out and pick up extra bonus shifts here and there. And I was passionate about the mission of the facility. And I worked my butt off to get there. I wanted to be there. And it's disappointing now. And this is where it's like, I'm not disappointed that it all happened, because everything happens for a reason. I'm a very strong believer in that. And obviously Mel's things happened in life.
Mel's Crafty Corner.
Sandra, Mel's Crafty Corner has saved my life in like more ways than one. I'm not even kidding you. It is just been such a joy and a blessing, and to be able to like use my creative outlets to help spread that joy to my friends who want to receive it. That's what I'm here for.
Yeah.
But yeah. It's,
you know, honestly, I love what you just said. You answered so many of my questions. Just like the challenge of your career, what drove you to start your own business? What does it bring for you? What does it do for you? And I'm going to be honest, you know, you sharing this has given me a level of bravery to share like what I've endured as well as a part-time nurse practitioner. I have not talked about this on the podcast because I feel so many things that you described as well, where you said, I don't want to be a failure. I just wanted to keep going. I knew in my gut I should have left a lot sooner. These things that you're saying, I know other people are thinking and they feel. And so like, I'll even share like with my nursing job currently, I have had issues as a nurse practitioner being part-time with not just management, but the other people that I work with being upset that I'm part-time as a nurse practitioner in this role. And you're thinking, wait a minute, like I'm choosing this. I'm taking the pay cut. I'm the one that's wanting the balance. And yet I'm having so much animosity from those that I work with. And so you are not alone in this. This is not something that you're dealing with alone. I have never talked about it openly on the podcast because I felt like, oh, there's a level of shame surrounding this. I thought I was alone. I thought, wait, why isn't my sunshine appreciated? But again, you telling that story, I know, is making other people that are listening go, oh my gosh, I wasn't alone. I did experience that. And so that just spurs you to go get your own thing. Go do the thing that's going to bring you joy, because you're not going to be appreciated if you're trying to find that balance in the hospital setting.
Thanks for listening to the episode. I hope you're enjoying the conversation. I wanted to take this time and remind you to check out the Success NP Etsy shop. It's a shop that I design with my best girlfriend, cute nurse practitioner gear, hats, bags, anything you could think of, as well as adorable digital products, mom life stuff, so resources for nurses to come. We're just excited about our shop. It's another way to support the podcast and to get really cool gear. Check it out and be sure to tell your friends about the podcast as well as the Etsy shop if you'd like. And what I'm building here, any promotion, any sharing helps build my audience, and I greatly appreciate it. Now, let's get back to the episode.
So I just keep preaching, you have to do what's best for you, whatever that looks like. If it works great for you in your life with your work-life balance to work part-time, that's great. If it doesn't work for somebody else because maybe their financials are different and they have to work full-time, okay, that's what you have to do. That's what's best for you in your situation. And it's hard dealing with people who have big thoughts and opinions about doing things kind of against the grid, right? And especially like in nurses. And I've gotten a lot, and I'm sure maybe you can appreciate this. Oh, you went through all that work of getting that degree and going through school, and you're not even a nurse anymore. Like, oh no, honey, I am still a nurse. I worked really hard for those letters. They are still behind my last name. I'm just not practicing nursing right now. And arguably I'm still practicing my nursing in other just creative ways.
Come on.
I'm doing a mentorship program with a local university. So I have like a mentor that I have under my wing, and we, you know, help her out in little ways that I can. And obviously I have Mel's Crafty Corner and this just safe space and that community that it's brought me. And yes, it's so important. And it's really interesting that you bring up like the vulnerability and being open and honest, because it has been really hard for me to do. And there are aspects that I do want to share more about. But at this point in time, I feel like I can't. And that's really sad because there was one point where I did speak up a little bit about why I left the bedside. And it took me 4 months to bring up the courage to let my community know that I wasn't working as a bedside nurse anymore for X, Y, and Z. And then getting a lot of love and appreciation from other people saying, thank you so much. Like, I needed to hear this. You know, I'm debating on leaving, and this helps, you know, showcase me that there is something better out there for me because I'm not happy and I want to be happy because we have this one life, right? Like, we deserve everything good that it has to offer. So, like, why are we wasting our time with negativity and toxic environments and just crap? We don't need it. We don't need it. I don't need it. If that's something that you need, okay, then that's fine. Then you just fester in it, but I'm not going to let it happen to me anymore. Yeah. I have done too much rolling over in my life that I am not going to let it happen anymore because I know it's helping other people. Like you said, and I do, you know, want to be more, and I am very vulnerable on especially my Instagram stories. You'll find me very emotional. And obviously I was crying earlier in this podcast. So I am stranger. I always tell my friends, I'm no stranger to emotions. It's like, it's okay to have big feelings. It is okay to feel the sense of shame and guilt. And I even went through my own sense of identity crisis of like, okay, I have this nurse brand, but I'm not practicing a nurse. I don't go to work in a hospital anymore. But so there's been a lot of my own personal self identity that I'm trying to still kind of figure out because I am still a nurse. I'm just not practicing that aspect anymore. Not to say that I'll never go back to nursing. I miss patient interaction so much. I even thought about just doing some home care or something, just find a client, just go to their house once a week, handle their pump settings, something. Cause yeah. I just miss that. That was my bread and butter. That's what I went to work for. I didn't go to work for the politics or the fluff. I went for my friends. That's what I call them. I call my patients my friends. I was oh, my friend in whatever room, because that's what I was there for. So I do miss that, and there are aspects of the nursing career that I do miss, of course, because that's what I ultimately went to school for, and that's what I went.
Yeah.
That's another reason why I'm so open and honest and vulnerable about it, because it is okay that your passions and your paths can change or skew or go back there or whatever. As long as you're happy on your journey, that's all that matters. Because there have been too many points in my life where I have not been happy in my journey and I've been trying to make other people happy.
Oh, come on.
And it has just demolished me in the end. So.
Yes. And that's what I always say on my podcast, is to enjoy the journey. And at some point when you're not enjoying your journey in nursing, it's time for a change, which is what this podcast is about. If you are not happy with what you're doing, if you are not enjoying nursing, if you are not figuring out where your path is supposed to go and you're lost and confused, come listen to these nurses that were in similar situations, that were going through stuff, that were like, wait, I'm going to make nursing work for me. And then when you do find that rhythm, then you find out, oh my goodness, I'm having to fight against people that aren't happy that I'm making nursing work for me. And it's because maybe they're in that situation where they haven't done that work. They haven't made nursing work for them. So they're miserable.
Right.
And they just want, they're unhappy to see you using your skill set, other things, and you're making nursing work for you. I think that more nurses need, and I think I'm going to just say this as well, more hospital systems need to be paying nurses and paying attention to nurses that are getting burned out, tired at the bedside. We need to give them opportunities to just go hey, if you need a break, go take one. I made sure that for me, with raising my children, I wasn't going to be a full-time nurse practitioner. I know certain things are going to happen. My pay is going to get cut. I'm not going to have opportunities like other full-time nurse practitioners. I let those things go. But then to receive the clash of other people at your job that are like, oh, I'm upset that you're not here all week. It's like, wait a minute, but I'm choosing this. I don't have a brand new car. I don't have a super, these are things that are fine for me that I've decided on my journey that make me happy. And so I find it so ironic that when, as I moved into this space, I received a lot of backlash, and it sounds like you did as well. And again, I think if we're so desperate for nurses, or we're so desperate for healthcare, I literally am waiting to see doctors like 2-3 months at a time. And you have a nurse practitioner to fill some of that gap, even if it's a couple days a week. Why would you deny that healthcare for other patients? Like, it's just, it's incredible.
It's so funny. It's
very weird.
A couple things. Comment that misery loves company. I'll say that. Excuse you. Chance agrees. Did you hear that?
Yes, I did. He was like, yep. Amen.
Misery loves company. My puppy's in the back. You guys can't see him, but he's just a grunty, sleepy baby. But yeah, it's definitely, you're going to get, people have their thoughts and opinions, like no matter what you're going to do. And I'll also say, we're talking about pay, that hospitals need to kind of like kick it into gear. And I can just, based off of my experience, because my facility with working in pediatrics, we did not get a lot of the same benefits that other adult hospitals were getting in terms of incentives for nurses to come in extra. I had a girlfriend who was working at Rush Medical Center and was getting hazard pay, was getting 2x pay.
Yep.
And
I never got that.
The most I ever got for, and this was only bonus shift, but she got that hazard pay like for every shift that she was scheduled for like months, because it was just hazardous for them to work in those environments.
Yeah.
So they got compensated for it. And the most I have ever gotten for working bonus, so picking up an extra bonus shift. And at the time you had to like do a program. So you had to do, like there were different tiers and the levels of bonuses that you got, but it was a 1.25 was the most that I got. And then
working
you would get like,
COVID.
And then you would get an extra $50 to $100 if you picked up an extra 4 hours.
Wow.
Like on top of your pay, but not like per hour.
Yeah.
It's so not something.
But it's not worth it if your back is hurting and you're not being appreciated for the work that you're doing. And so as much as what you do with your shop and you're bringing joy and people are getting things and they come back to you and they're like, I love your stuff. They leave a review and like that you work for those things. Those are the intangibles of work, right? Is that the stuff that people appreciate what you're doing? Yeah.
They appreciate that. They appreciate the little subtle nuances. Like I had a mental health collection that I dropped last year that's become a wild bestseller and kind of snowballed a lot of my floral designs, but it said, be kind to your mind. It's a floral brain. And then I also had a floral serotonin. That was the first molecular, happy drug that I did. And then I added dopamine and oxytocin to that. So there are still aspects of like medical, but like you don't have to necessarily be a nurse to buy it, even though I do have like nurse merch, but I just try to like create things that just make people happy and that they feel good when they wear it. So then when I get the comments back that, you know, they were having a really hard time and one time that they decided to treat themselves and get themselves a new sweater that I made. And then their 5-year-old son comments on them saying that she looks beautiful. And it just like sends her into like a spiral of like good feel. Yeah. All the dopamine is running through her body and then it's running through mine. And it's just all feel good. Yeah. It just feels so good to be appreciated and not be questioned of why we're doing what we're doing. I did another podcast and they asked, you know, what advice I would give my younger self. And it was that, how did I word it? You're not doing this for them. They're not who you're doing this for. So I always keep trying.
What do you mean by that?
The bullies, the haters, the people who don't get it. You're not doing it for them. You're doing it for the people that need and appreciate and that are not happy in their careers or don't feel fulfilled in their life and need, you know, some sense of community and purpose. And that's kind of something that I've been able to help not only my fellow nurses who either are struggling with being a nurse and all of that entails, or it's other small business owners now who can relate to, you know, doing this full time or whatever. I've kind of collected people from all walks of life. It's been really fun.
You know what I was thinking when you're talking? I feel like what you're saying and what I'm hearing is find your own tribe.
Amen. Like, your vibe is your tribe.
Right? Like, instead of being so bummed that your floor nurses don't like you, or I'm getting all this extra hate and all this extra animosity and all these different things.
Or maybe the unit that you're working on isn't for you anymore. Like, if you're a new nurse and you started on a floor and it's just not vibing with you, it's not bringing you joy, it's okay to leave. You have, and like, and I even try to tell some of my newer nurses that came on, and I could kind of tell that maybe their heart wasn't in it. And, and it's not like they need permission, but sometimes people just need like the okay from somebody else that like, no, like you don't have to do this. Like, if you're not happy, you don't have to be here. Like, we want you to be fulfilled. Like, if you're miserable here, like that's not going to help anybody. Yes. And like we, so it's like, it's okay. Yeah. I even had to tell one of my newer nurses that, she came to me when I was in charge one night and she's just like, feel so lost. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't have the support that I feel like I need. You know, I'm running around and I just was weighing on her. She was feeling the burnout and she had only been a nurse for a couple months and only been by herself off of orientation for like 2 months at the time and just feeling like lost. And I just like swooped her into a big hug because I knew exactly how she felt in that moment. And like I said, thankfully I had some experience under my belt to like feel okay with feeling like you were drowning. But I just told her, it's like, it's okay to like that if this isn't for you, it's okay that it's not what you expected because my expectations have changed and that's okay. That's time. And now it's something that you know that you did and that you tried and that you can take the experience that you learned from here and put it towards your next journey, whatever that is.
Exactly. And go find that thing that, again, there's so many avenues to nursing. There's home care. Like you said, like I just go be a home care nurse, or I can go do an infusion pump nurse, or I can go be a vaccination nurse, or I can go do telemedicine, or I can go do all these. I can go work as an adjunct professor. I can go all these different things that you can do that, again, you go into these systems and then you might go, oh, these are my people. Like, I wasn't for that group. And that doesn't mean that there's something innately wrong with me. There's nothing innately wrong with you. It's just you were a square peg in a round hole. You just didn't fit there. And so, again, on top of...
That's a great way to look at that.
Right? Like, it's nothing wrong with me. There's just, I was in the wrong spot. And so at different points in my career, I'm starting to learn this. And then as I move into this kind of entrepreneurial space of building these things, and I'm like, wait, what is it that I'm good? I can go and be my full self. And again, using emotional intelligence, making sure that I'm doing all the different things that are easy for me, but then also I've got to work on it because I'm not super great at these things or whatever aspects in improving myself. But for the most part, who I am and the way that I am is not wrong. I just might have been in the wrong space. And so I love that you say, like, my sunshine, I just want to be how I am. And then you found your little corner that you can craft and you can do the things that bring you joy, that you can be yourself. You can fully express yourself and not feel like I can't do that because
I have to be a certain person. Yeah,
exactly. And so that's what I love about it. I love that about it, because then when you go into the hospital setting, you've got a renewed sense of vigor that you can have more of a buffer at times to handle the stuff that goes on in the hospital, because you have that space where you're fully yourself and that you don't have to be anything else. And so but the problem then is that you might start to encounter some of these interpersonal things that you have to deal with other people that I did not anticipate either. So I think it's really good that we talked about that today on the podcast, because I think people need to realize that, that sometimes when you do move in that space, you're going to meet opposition that you don't anticipate. That you're like, whoa, I can't believe I'm having to deal with this. And, and again,
I didn't ask to have a bad back. I didn't ask to have it herniate. You know, COVID happened. Nobody asked for that. But it's taking what you have right in front of you and using all of the tools that you have gathered in your life's journey and taking it wherever you want to go next.
Wow. And I love it. I love it.
Yes. The last point that I will just make is just make sure that whatever you do is that you are protecting your peace. And what I mean by that is making sure that, and this is something that I have to remind myself too, is like being a business, and because there are things that have taken some of the joy out of it, like answering emails and like doing returns and taxes are super fun, but it's making sure that I'm protecting my peace too and recouping and not getting burnt out so that I can keep, because this is fun and I want to keep it fun. So I have to remind myself those times. And just, and that concept goes for everybody. Just protect your peace. Whether it's saying no to something or saying yes to something, you know?
Yeah.
Goes for
and setting up those systems to protect your peace too.
Yes.
Because there's systems you can put in place that can help kind of go like, I love how you told me before the podcast, you're like, I don't do these things on Sunday. It's just my, it's just my rule.
That's
and like,
my rule.
You just stick to it. You're just like, I'm doing it. I protect my peace. Yep. And so.
It's like, there are obviously things I can always be doing, but I'm not going to.
Yes. Yeah. And you know what? And I think that even from, and I always talk about the Bible in my podcast because I think that it's important for life. And I, you know, people can agree or disagree with me on biblical matters, but let me tell you something. There was the God of the universe worked for 6 days of the week. And then he rested on one day.
Then,
so if the God of the universe has to rest, and I say this all the time on my podcast, if the God of the universe has to rest, what makes you think that you can just continue to keep working and burn yourself out? He protected against it. You are not even God. Make sure to protect against the burnout, and it gives room for the universe to create opportunities for you. If you are constantly working and you aren't resting, when things happen during rest periods for me, I'm like, that doesn't even make any sense. I haven't even been working.
Right.
How did this show up? I haven't even been working. It's like, oh, because someone's taking care of me. It's because I am not in control. And so I always talk about that on my podcast that as an entrepreneur, you are doing things and you are creating and you are working, but there is a need for space to let God work. Because if you just continue to burn yourself out, you will look back and go, oh, I did it all. You didn't do it all. And there was, and you've got to create that buffer to allow for reverse. For me, it's God to just work. And so
absolutely,
you got to create space for rest because he deemed it appropriate. He deemed it appropriate.
Amen.
He shows you what to do. He created you. Let him show you. Hey, listen, I got you. Right. Faith.
Love it.
Faith.
I love it.
Yeah, we have to do that. I want you to, and again, I feel like we haven't really talked about your product, but I'm going to tell you something, Melanie. I was not expecting the conversation to go in this direction. And I think it's been
me
so
neither.
Freaking cool. Like where we started and where we're ending.
Yes.
I just think it's been so incredible. And I'm just so excited. I can't wait for this podcast episode to come out.
Because I have felt that it has been just me. And especially in this nurse entrepreneur realm who have left the bedside and have had to deal with some of the repercussions of that. And I don't think it's talked about enough. And I am happy that we are both opening up our own chapters.
Yeah.
And sharing
it's
truths.
True. Because I think, like you said, you pour yourself into the career and to the job. And then when you see how it all goes down and you leave it like that, and then you've got no one to talk to about it, it just feels like this, like really like scarlet letter. It feels like a scarlet letter. And to
it
like, right. Remember that book in school?
Yeah.
And then whenever you show your scarlet letter and now like I just proudly wear the pin, I'm like, here I am. This is like, I got burned by this career field and I don't think I'm a bad nurse. I don't think that I'm a bad nurse practitioner. I actually feel like I have a level of sunshine that I'm supposed to bring to the airways or to my Mel's Crafty Corner.
And if you're working less, then sometimes you're able to provide more of that sunshine.
Because you're not burned out.
Exactly. Fill up your cup a little bit more.
Exactly. And so maybe that's the answer to those other, and I think we said that we pretty much alluded to that that's why they are so angry. And so it's like, dude, just come get some of this.
Yeah.
She said that
to me. It's like, well, it's because you were PRN and we were all working full time. So it's hard coming in with, or it's easy to come in with a positive attitude when you're only here 1 or 2 days a week. That's how she worded it.
Ironic, isn't it? Maybe you should join me. I mean, come on. Maybe instead of looking at me adversarially, maybe you go to your administration and you go, listen, I'm miserable. I want what she has.
Right.
She comes in here and she's not miserable. So put me PRN. Y'all are desperate for people. Y'all desperate for people to come in here and take care of people.
That's
put me on PRN status. And let me go spend some time alone with myself so I can hear what my soul is crying. I'm supposed to be changing tires. I like doing automotive work on top of being a nurse. So I'm going to go do that thing on the days that I'm not working. And now you start a side hustle. Now you're doing some other stuff and people, you're not even looking to get paid. You just like changing tires. So and then you just start doing it. You work as a nurse a couple of days a week. You go in joyful. You leave. Yeah. You come and you do your other thing. And all of a sudden now you're like, wait a minute, how is it that I'm... Okay, well, I only want to work one day a week as a nurse. And you, again, you were creating the life and the journey that you want. And I
was protecting my peace.
Yes. And I think it's beautiful that you shared that that's the thing you miss is the taking care of people. Because honestly, there is something so beautiful about stepping into the trenches when someone is sick and taking care of them and seeing them become well or seeing them go through that journey and being a part of someone's story as a nurse. It's so beautiful. I just had my baby and that was the most important aspect was the nursing care that I got.
Yes.
Period, point blank. What were you going to say?
Especially working in pediatrics too. And especially in my population that I worked in, we had a lot of chronic patients that we would see. You know, I had one patient that I sat with as a sitter a lot. He was a little boy that had lots of tubes and liked to pull and was, you know, just needed somebody in there to help keep him safe. Because if one of those tubes was out, it was an emergency. Yeah. And even I got to care for him, you know, as a nurse and such and grow. And just the resiliency in children, it just blows my mind. Like this same patient that I'm talking about, he wasn't even supposed to make it out of the NICU and he's turning 7 this year.
Wow.
And it's being... with those patients and that's what I'm talking about, like missing the patient care. And I'll mention this because I think it speaks volume to maybe the situation. When I came back with my weight restriction, I was put in a position. I took on a patient that was above my weight restriction and it was a really tough situation. I won't get into like the details, but ultimately I got a DAISY nomination out of it. And the nomination, the mom even mentioned that she knew that I was not supposed to be their nurse. And she was so thankful that the universe or God put me in with them at that time. Cause they don't think that they would have gotten through it with anyone else. So I knew what I was doing was making an impact.
Yeah.
Even if I wasn't supposed to be doing it.
And even if you were PRN. Right. And even if you were picking like three flowers.
I'm looking at my garden that I've collected. And I think it also kind of goes to speak volume too for the administrative side too, is I've seen a lot of good nurses get pushed out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they keep rewarding.
Yes.
Some of the people that stay.
Yeah. The bullies. They reward the bullies. The bullies move up. Yes. The bullies get promoted.
The bullies get the daisies.
Yes.
Yeah. Or they get promoted or they get the pat on the back and we get shoved out the door.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
It breaks my heart
I think it's so incredible to hear your journey and to know like the start of your business was the start of you prioritizing yourself and putting yourself first. And through that, you know, yes, you wish you could have kept nursing and maybe you'll go back. It's not necessarily meaning that you're never going to do it, but there is an element of when you do start prioritizing yourself, you'll start to find what brings you joy and you'll be able to move in that space and it might set you free from the other stuff that you're doing in the bedside. She's totally fallen asleep. So funny.
Good.
So for the last part of the podcast, which again, I know we've totally gone all over the place, but this is just where it was.
I'm loving everything about this. I'm very okay with it.
Me as well. Please tell my listeners where they can find you. They can find your little shop, find you on Instagram, all the little things. Tell me.
You can find me a lot of different places. You can find my shop, Mel's Crafty Corner, at shopmelscraftycorner.com. You can find me on the Lumify Marketplace. I actually have a couple products posted in there. It's a platform for healthcare workers all alike, getting resources and different things. So you'll find a couple of my products on there. If you have the Lumify points, you can use it towards that. They run sales and stuff. So that's one place you can shop. You can find me a lot on Instagram. I'm very vulnerable in my stories.
Yeah.
So definitely watch there if you need a little bit of vulnerability or feeling like you're not alone.
Love that.
You can find me on TikTok too. I've been sharing more of like my thoughts more on there. I'm a little, been a little bit more loosey-goosey.
Yeah.
I'm living in that era right now.
I love it. Oh my
gosh. I'm just living my best life. So yeah, you can find me on Instagram, TikTok, find my shop Mel's Crafty Corner. Come say hi. Let's be friends.
And for the last part of the podcast, last part of the podcast is the rapid fire questions, questions, questions. Are you ready? Are you ready, Mel?
Yes.
Let's do it. What is the last thing you watched on TV, Netflix and chill? What was it?
The Last of Us. We finished the series last night. It's on HBO Max. Have you seen, heard of it?
None of it. Mom game. Is it good?
That's fair.
Yeah.
It is really good. So, little backstory, it's based off of a video game called The Last of Us, where it's like apocalyptic kind of zombie, but not. Follows this guy and this girl that he picks up along the way and try to save her because she's supposed to save the universe and hopefully have a cure for the apocalypse, and it kind of just goes through their journey. It's really good though. Shows that I like the depth to it though. Like there's not that many, it's not zombie heavy. It's more like emotional storytelling back end. How is she the way that she is? Why is he the way that he is?
Yeah.
You're doing a lot of character development.
Drama. Love it.
I like.
Yes. So where do you go when you want to be alone? Where do you go to like just your crafty
I go to Mel's Crafty Corner and I shut the door.
Love that.
I either do that, or one of my guilty pleasures that I've been trying to do more of for me is massages, especially for my body. They've been really... With my back injury, my muscles have never been the same with the amount of spasms and sciatica that I've experienced. Yeah. There's knots that my massage therapist didn't even know existed. And she's been doing this for like 25 years. So that's for me. But Mel's Crafty
Corner. I'm going to actually say this too. Whenever you've got like stress, I think it manifests.
Yeah.
Like physically. Oh, yeah. And so that's probably why she's finding knots she's never found before, because it's a nurse's back that carries the stress of and the anxiety of the floor. So I think it's like, as you like step away further and further away from that stress, you'll get stronger. That's my my little voodoo like thoughts. And if you could learn any language, what would it be and why?
Ooh, well, I know sign language. Fun fact.
Stop. I did not know this. That's great.
That was my foreign language in college. I tried Spanish in high school. I passed the first semester. Year two destroyed me. I literally failed. That was the only, like, I had to pull out of the class before the deadline. Otherwise, I would have gotten an F on my report card for sure. But I would say...
sign language. That's cool.
Yeah. So I know sign language, but if I would want to like learn one, I would love to learn Swahili.
Is that from your time in, wait, but that you went to Kenya. I know that I saw that story.
I went to Kenya.
Yeah. Yes. With your instructor, met her like parents, stayed in her hut. Yes. I mean, it was like really cool. So it was, Swahili.
Yes. I went with my College of Nursing. Yeah. Yep, so I learned a couple words and phrases, but it's just a beautiful language. And I would love to learn more. Cool.
Well, Mel, again, thank you for coming onto the podcast today. Thank you for being so patient with me.
Thank you for inviting me.
Oh my goodness. I honestly, I want to bring you back. Yes. I was just going to say, this felt therapeutic for both of us. So
good.
I hope that again, somebody got something out of this, that we were able to connect, that people can see the importance of doing something for yourself and protecting.
I do for you, girlfriend.
Love it.
All the friends. Yes. We don't discriminate. All the friends.
Exactly.
We love all. But no, thank you so much for having me. I would love to come back to chat more, maybe more of the topics that you wanted to talk about originally, but we kind of got on our own journey.
I think that it was supposed to be talked about today. I leave it like open. Like, yes, I have like a structure and I think about certain things, but then I'm also like, all right, just guide the conversation to where it's supposed to be. And I accept it for what it's supposed to be. So I think this is going to be
good. Like we both needed a little bit of this today.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I appreciate you so much for allowing me be in the safe space with you and to speak our truths. And I really hope that it helps somebody. I know it will. So whoever it helps you, thank you for being here and listening and allowing us the opportunity to provide insights.
And guys, don't forget to enjoy the journey of your nursing career. Thanks for hanging
Amen.
Out. Amen. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye. So- I love you, Mama. And thanks for listening.
So that's a wrap. Be sure to subscribe to the show so you don't miss an episode. And leave me a review if you like the show. I would love to get 5 stars. The Dr. Nurse Podcast is on the World Wide Web, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Patreon, and TikTok. Subscribe to my newsletter for updates on new podcast episodes and other information to help you on your own nursing journey. You can always message me at thedrnursepodcast@gmail.com with any career professions that you are interested in hearing about. And just a friendly reminder, the information on this podcast is for educational purposes only, and the information should not be used in substitute for professional care by a medical provider. The information in this podcast does not represent medical or professional advice or services.